Call the order of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors meeting. Tonight is October 16th, 2012. The time is 6:30 p.m. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start tonight with public comment period. This is the time on the agenda when anybody can address this Board of Supervisors on any issue within our jurisdiction. We do have a time limit of 5 minutes per speaker. I do have a request to speak. We'll start with those first. We'll start with Hallie Robinson. Good evening.
Board members, my name is Hallie Robinson. I've been a Modesto resident for 45 years. I'd like to speak on the issue of cat stuffing. On April 6th of this year, my then neighbor, Phil Sumner, lured my cat Woody Pickett into his yard with the intent of trapping him. Once trapped, Mr. Sumner drove Woody 3.5 miles to the Thousand Oaks Business Park and dumped him. When I confronted him, he admitted to trapping Woody and abandoning him at the Thousand Oaks Park. I filed a complaint with the Animal Control, citing Code 7.44 as well as State of California Code 597. I then contacted the news media as well as the Modesto Bee. All ran my story. My complaint was forwarded to the DA's office only to be rejected 4 months later due to lack of staff and evidence. Mr. Sumner had admitted these crimes to the Bee, the news media, Animal Control, and to me in 5 letters. What more evidence is needed? He has boasted to taking 18 to 20 cats per year, some with collars, and abandoning them all in the same place. Many of the cats Mr. Sumner abandoned were family pets with collars. They are now strays and ferals, competing with fox, raccoon, skunk, possums for food and shelter. My family and I still search for Woody daily. We have not given up. He was not only a cat, but he was a family member. The amount of emotional stress, money, time my family and I have had to endure is great, and it's all due to this man's cruel and irresponsible actions. The laws are clear and the evidence is there. I ask that this man be arrested and prosecuted for the crimes that he's committed. Lastly, I'm asking the board to use their influence to ensure that this case of cat dumping is prosecuted. I'm also asking for a formal written response. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Heather Sisk. Good evening.
Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the board, my name is Heather Sisk. Tonight I'm speaking on behalf of Mike, a professionally trained autism therapy cat. On May 5th, Mike was abducted. He was trapped and held captive in a cage. He was placed in a vehicle and driven far from his home, where he was then abandoned. Abandoned with no food, no water, no shelter from the harsh elements. Abandoned, alone, scared, and subject to attack from predators. Abandoned with no way to seek medical help from his veterinarian. In short, Mike was left to die. My children and I were told quite callously by my neighbor to get over it, that he'd trapped Mike and several other cats from our neighborhood. He said that we should consider Mike disposed of, where he takes cats, they don't ever come back. He was intentionally and maliciously causing emotional harm to both my children and me. and there are other predators like him out there, and they need to be stopped. This man's actions and subsequent deplorable behavior has devastatingly affected my entire family. Don't let this happen to others. Don't let this happen to somebody that you love. And I realize, to the world, Mike might not be somebody. But I promise you, to somebody, Mike is the world. And asking that the laws be upheld, and asking for freedom and liberty and equality and justice for all. I'm asking this board to use your influence to get the law enforced in this case. I'm also asking for a formal written response to our petition. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Mosser.
Good evening. My name is Karen Mosser. I've been a resident of Ceres since 1958. I have been a feral cat caregiver in Stanislaus County since 2000, and I am frustrated and angry that no charges were brought against the two men that have admitted to dumping cats. I have spent a lot of my money and time promoting TNR and containing feral cat colonies in this county. Dumping cats only adds to the cat overpopulation in this county. Stanislaus County Code 744 clearly states it is unlawful for any person to abandon any animal, whether dead or alive. I'm going to repeat the law again. It is unlawful for any person to abandon any animal, whether dead or alive. What part of this law doesn't Stanislaus County not understand, and why isn't it being enforced? Today just happens to be National Feral Cat Day. In 2002, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors endorsed TNR as the only method proven to be humane and effective in controlling feral cats. Feral cat population growth. In 2005, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors passed the overpopulation ordinance. In 2011, you approved the opening of the SAVE clinic, whose goal is to lower the pet overpopulation in Stanislaus County and therefore decrease the euthanasia rate at our local shelter. Tonight, I'm asking you to enforce the law on animal dumping in this county and continue your excellent record of making decisions that will end the overpopulations of cats in this county. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, I apologize if I don't read this correctly. I believe it's Lynn Abid. Or Abbott? I apologize if I mispronounced names. Abbott, all right. And is it Lynn?
Yes.
All right, Lynn. Thank you.
Pardon the list. Had some teeth pulled. Basically, this is about two men admitting to law enforcement trapping and dumping or killing neighbors' cats. We want the men prosecuted and arrested for their crimes. 71% of the cats that go into the shelter don't leave. Feral cats are rarely adopted. Dumping and abandoning cats is, of course, a crime. I mean, there's no if, ands, or buts. We read it that way. I don't see how anybody else can. Trapping and dumping pets is beyond cruel. It's insulting and offensive that two men have done just that and with little or no repercussion. I'm going to assume that all of you have had an animal at one point or another. And maybe you even have one now. And when you go to bed at night and the rain's pouring down and it's cold and it's windy and it's dark, your pet's probably on your child's bed, on your bed, in your living room. They go to sleep at night wondering what happened to their baby. Her daughter, her granddaughter goes to sleep at night wondering what's happening to Woody. In closing, it's important that you know that the women that just spoke and the women in that corner and the men, you remember their names because we're the ones that are going to change this, but we need your help. Thank you.
Thank you. Allison Sikora?
My name's Allison Sikora. This is for what Mr. Summer did to Woody.
I'll read what she wrote. He just took him to, if he would have just took him to the pound, or he, she, hold on a second. This is wrong what Mr. Sumner did. To him, he should have took him to the pound so he could come home and asked if this was our, oh, what she's saying is she said that he should have came over and asked if this was our cat because he knew we had cats. That it, he's wrong for what he did and he needs to pay. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, look at him. Tell him thank you. Thank you.
Allison, thank you for coming down tonight. Thank you for sharing your story. Patty Griffith.
I just want to say these gals, I've gotten to know through their cat Sting Lost. I'm definitely a feral cat associate. I work with animals. And these gentlemen have, what they've done is a crime. It's an absolute crime. The animals are defenseless. They're out there with so many predators after them. This was a cruel, cruel act. And animal cruelty is a crime. So what is the problem here? We need to face this. One of the gentlemen was a law enforcement officer, I believe. This is a crime. These gentlemen need to face up to what they have done. And I mean, these families are devastated. These pets are part of their lives. And I see it every day. I see pets part of the people's lives. They're so important. We need to address this. This is, to me, it's very important that this be looked at. And that's why we really ask you to please open your hearts and do something about this. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Robinson.
My name is Susan Robinson. I live in Modesto. And cat dumping is a crime. California Penal Code Section 597. S reads, every person who willfully abandons any animal is guilty of a misdemeanor. California Penal Code Section 597B. Every person who deprives of necessary sustenance, drink, or shelter any animal, or causes or procures any animal to be deprived of necessary sustenance, drink, shelter, and whoever having the charge or custody of any animal, either as owner or otherwise, subjects any animal to needless suffering or fails to provide the animal with proper food, drink, or shelter or protection from the weather is, for each offense, guilty of a crime punishable pursuant to Subdivision B. Each offense is punishable by a fine of up to $20,000 and imprisonment for up to a year and or. You should care that people are committing these crimes with impunity throughout this county. They're doing it with impunity because it has never been enforced. Never. You should care that cats are left to suffer and die. You should care that our parks and streets are filled with wandering cats, many of whom were dumped. You should care that cats are dumped in wildlife parks. You should care that the animal rescue people who have been trying to deal with the feral cat populations have to deal with these cats who already had homes in addition to the ones that never had homes. We should not have to fight to get our elected officials and law enforcement to enforce the laws on behalf of cats and their families. The law is clear and straightforward. We are hearing ridiculous statements from people like the sheriff and someone in the DA's office. They've been insisting that anyone who takes possession of a cat can do whatever they want with it. California Penal Code Section 597 says otherwise. The two cat dumpers mentioned in the petition have made very easy cases for the DA's office. They both have confessed. We don't want to hear any more excuses. I don't want to hear about staffing. I don't want to hear about funding. This law has never been enforced, no matter what the economic situation, no matter what the staffing levels, it has never been enforced. These two cases don't get any easier for the DA's office. We want to send a message to all those people in our county committing these crimes against cats. And the way to do that is to have these two cases prosecuted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Wendy Miller. Good evening.
My name is Wendy Miller, and I live in Riverbank. We are actually here tonight to support our friends here in Modesto. Even though I live in Riverbank, we're dealing with situations that are exactly the same. And I know all of us can keep coming up here, and you're probably going, nah, 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 nah. We don't want to listen to this anymore, but you know what? These are family members to a lot of people. If these were children we were up here talking about, we'd have everybody's attention. But they're cats. If they were dogs, we'd even have more people's attention. Our whole bunch of our cats in a colony, which, like they said, we work really hard. We spend years doing this. Our own time and money to try and help our community and cities with no thanks at all except more roadblocks put up. I agree with every woman that stood up here and spoke. She said, this is a no-brainer. There should be no reason. We have a resident in Riverbank that was able to trap at least 8 of our cats that were already rescued. We volunteer with Alley Cat Guardian and Shelter Pet Alliance. These are nonprofit agencies that deal strictly with saving animals, dogs and cats both. When organizations like us come forward and we want to offer to help our communities and cities at no cost, and then this is the kind of things that we get. And I'm not saying I've never seen any of you, but it is just so sad because I hear things like the Sheriff's Department. We're battling with the Sheriff's Department in Riverbank. We're battling. This is just an ongoing situation where these people think it's okay because they're just cats. Most of them are people that don't like cats. But see, that's not the point. It's not about what you like. There's a whole bunch of things that all of us don't like. But we have to learn to live with each other and get along and make the best of it. So a bunch of us take our time and money, we go out, we trap up the cats, we make sure they're healthy, vaccinated, sterilized, we give and provide them food and water so they're not killing off all the wildlife, they're keeping the rodents down, there's no threat to humans or children. And then people are allowed, especially if they're within our law enforcement, they took an oath, just like all of you did, to serve and protect. That's all we're asking for. Serve and protect and follow the law. It's right there for us. And I don't understand what's happening. I don't know who else to contact. All of us are just so frustrated at this point. It's like, please have these people stop taking people's pets and cats out of their colony, removing. These animals mean something to all of us. And show us the same respect that we would show you guys and all the other residents. Like I said, all of us deal with people all around us all the time we don't like, but there's ways of working things out, and most of us are very caring, compassionate people. So all we're asking is that the law be enforced and to show us equal respect and please help this stop continuing. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it on the request I have to speak. If anybody else want to address this board on either the cat issue or any other issue tonight? Tio Nino, do you have a response? I mean, I have a dog and a cat, and I have a little daughter and a son. but my daughter would be in just like the speaker we had up here that happened to her. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed with. A couple speakers absolutely nailed it right on the head of using our influence, because this board doesn't decide what laws or what cases to enforce. But we have a sheriff and a DA who do that, police chief in the city of Modesto. And so, Eon Nemo?
I have been given information relative to the particular case. And so we will provide you with a response from this Board of Supervisors, but I also want to make sure that the public is aware that we're one of six, part of a Stanislaus County Animal Services Agency. And so I will also follow up with our Animal Services Executive Director. And I just want to make sure that you have also followed up with our local Animal Services Agency to make sure there's pictures, you know, your cats have been identified so that in case they do come towards the shelter. But you will receive a formal response from this board.
Thank you. Okay, I'll ask one more time. Any other public comment tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to consent calendar. Does any Board of Supervisor wish to pull any item for separate vote or separate discussion? Seeing none, does anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar item? Items on the calendars marked with an asterisk. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action.
So moved.
Motion by Montieth.
Second it.
Second by Withrow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. I believe that brings us to correspondence.
This board has received a letter regarding the administration of the senior meals program in the community of the city of Patterson.
Refer to Area Agency on Aging and Veteran Services.
This board has received a notice from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding a petition to list the northern spotted owl as a threatened or endangered species.
Refer to Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer as weights and measures.
This board has received a letter from the Hostess Brands regarding the company's ongoing bankruptcy proceeding and the potential of a workers' adjustment or retraining notification act notice.
Refer to Stanislaus Economic and Workforce Alliance and Alliance WorkNet.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus County Law Library's annual report for fiscal year ending on June 30th, 2012.
We acknowledge receipt of the report.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Yes.
Supervisor Withrow.
I just wanted to go over a couple things here. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the auto issue with regard to some purchases, and Chairman O'Brien raised some good concerns that he had with regard to department heads and the possibility of vehicles being purchased versus purchased being repaired, and so I guess that raised for me a concern, almost more of a kind of a deeper structural concern with regard to the system we have in place. Not only that we have department heads that would look to buy a new car versus, you know, would make that decision to buy a new car versus having a repair go on their budget, but then also that we wouldn't have systems in place to prevent that from happening, you know, internal controls and things. So I spent, based on that, I spent about 2 hours on Friday out at Fleet Services to try to get some answers. I'm kind of new to this stuff. I don't know everything that goes on. So, and Steve DeMoss, I appreciate the time. Steve spent with me out there with me, and the questions that I pelted him with for a couple hours there, because we went through this. But I just want to a little bit go through, and I know there's a staff report that's going to come on this soon. And so, but I did want to go through what I found a little bit here, a little background. You know, our we have about 900 vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, etc. In the county, about 800 of those are cars. I think approximately 800 cars. Out there at Fleet Services, we have six mechanics, one administration person, and then and Steve DeMoss, who's also a mechanic. And I think the shop has like six lifts, vehicle lifts, and a nice shop out there. Fleet Services does all the repairs on all the vehicles in the county. They do smog work. They don't do alignments. They don't do warranty work, which of course gets sent back to the manufacturer as that comes up. And then they also, I think Public Works does some stuff on some of their own heavy trucks, but otherwise Fleet Services does everything with regard to repairs on the cars. They also outfit, I think, public safety cars. I think as we purchase new cars for the sheriffs and stuff, they'll put cages in there and lights and stuff like that when they come in. So they'll kind of do that outfitting of those cars too. There's a parts department out there. Very few parts in it nowadays. You can, which is a good thing, because you don't want money tied up in your inventory sitting out there. But you can pretty much get your parts within a day. From what Steve says, within a day you can get a part, so you don't have to worry. To kind of address this issue with regard to the department heads and buying vehicles, there is a process that's in place. And the way it works is each department really has its own vehicle replacement policy right now. So each department just comes up with a, determines that they need a new vehicle, but it has to go through fleet services before anything happens. So if the way the process works is someone in the department decides that they need a new car, they have to go to fleet services and they have to go to Steve and say, and explain to Steve that they need a new car. Steve then does an evaluation to determine whether that car can be repaired and stay on the road and not a new one purchases, or if it's not cost efficient, you know, there's an analysis that's done to determine if it's more efficient to buy a new car than to repair, if the car is beyond repair at that point. There's also a process then as going through this this process of determining whether a new car is needed, of looking around the rest of the departments and trying to determine, is there another place this car could go that it would still work? Or vice versa, are there other departments that have cars that are underutilized that possibly could be used to replace this car and prevent us from having to buy a new car? So again, this is all the thought process and the analysis that goes into determining whether a new car is needed to be purchased or not. Steve says 99% of the time his recommendation to the department head is honored, and that's what they'll do based on what regardless if they come and say, I want to buy a new car or we want to repair this car, they'll listen to Steve and do what he wants. He even says, probably the one time he said that one didn't actually listen to him, it was somebody who wanted to repair a car versus buy a new one, and Steve tried to make the argument, this car is not worth it, it's going to crash soon. They went ahead and repaired it, spent a lot of money on a repair, and within, I think, 6 months, he said they had to buy a new car because it was past its life. So then once it's determined that a car is needed to be purchased, then they look at whether we should buy or whether we should lease. And different departments have different approaches to that with regard to leasing. You know, requires a lot less capital outlay. And so anyway, once they get to that point, then there's other decisions that are made with regard to buying versus lease. And then, of course, once it decides that we are going to purchase a car, it works its way through the CEO's office, through this board, before it actually gets to the point. So there are several steps, several checks and balances in place. Internal controls, in my accounting world, internal controls as an auditor, you want to make sure that there are systems in place so that these things can't happen, so that the department head can't make a decision, we're going to get a new car, because if I have to repair that thing, it's going to come out of my budget. There are systems in this county in place, and I thought that there would be, but I wanted to make sure myself as I went through, went and spent this time with Steve. So, Steve, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate Chairman O'Brien bringing up the concerns there with regard to this, but I feel very comfortable that we do have systems in place, checks and balances, and we don't have some real structural deficits here that allow cars to be purchased on a whim or for self-interest reasons as compared to what's in best interest for the county. And I really feel that the taxpayers' dollars are being protected here with the systems we have in place. So that was my adventure out to fleet services and what I found. Again, Steve, thank you for your time.
Other Board of Supervisor reports? Okay. Just in response to that, what I asked for during that hearing was a more in-depth fleet management program and policy from this board. Used to be centralized in fleet services, and now we've decentralized. And what I've asked for is that the fleet manager look at more of a centralized program that takes into consideration not only the cost of the car, cost of the buying versus lease, miles per gallon, repair cost, maintenance cost, et cetera, and that his expertise should be one of the major factors. When my visit is out there, he said, oh, this department's buying this brand, this department's buying this brand, this department, and that should be more of his decision, more of a contract price. Police agencies have been buying Crown Victorias forever because they get on a master contract with CHP and buy these cars in bulk. Now they stop making those, now that's going to be a whole different problem. And so that's all I ask for, is that when we bring this forward, that it's a more in-depth, that we're making the best choice for the taxpayers. And then the other aspect of it is all the cars that are not being utilized, how do we utilize those versus buying new ones? And that part, I haven't seen an answer for, but I know it will come.
Yeah, and that's what I think that was one of the encouraging parts that I heard, that they do look around for other places where cars are being underutilized, and they try to move those around if somebody's looking for something that does get moved into maybe a different department that could use it from what we talked about out there. So, yeah.
Okay, CEO?
Yes, Chair. The state legislature is currently in recess. There was over 125,000 absentee ballots that were mailed out in Stanislaus County on October 10th. Additionally, vote by mail ballots will be sent out as voters request until October 30th. State propositions for California State Association of Counties, they've only identified two propositions that they think have impacts to California counties. That's Proposition 30 and 31. Proposition 30 would increase sales tax by 0.25 cents for every dollar for 4 years. It also would increase personal income tax on upper income taxpayers for 7 years. The initiative is anticipated to raise $6 billion in additional revenue annually through 2016, 2017, with smaller amounts through 2017 and 2018 and 2019 and from 2018 to 2019. The initiative contains constitutional protections for our 2011 public safety realignment revenues for California counties. The governor has committed to full funding for public safety realignment, and counties have pushed for constitutional protection of this funding issue. Recently, the California Business Roundtable poll on Prop 30, it's currently been favorable at 49.5%. This initiative needs to get more than 50% of the voters if it were to be approved. For Prop 30, this proposition would enact elements including a 2-year state budget cycle and prohibiting on the legislature from creating expenditures of more than $25 million unless offsetting revenue or spending cuts are identified. That would be wonderful. Initiative would also permit the governor to unilaterally cut the budget during declared fiscal emergencies if the legislature fails to act, along with on the ballot as a combined constitutional amendment and state statute. It is currently polling at just a little over 37%, and this would also require a 50% more votes in order for it to be approved. Also, recently, the state controller released their monthly cash balances as of September of 2012, showing that total revenues were at $162.5 million below, which is essentially 2.2% projections contained in the 12-13 state budget. Expenditures, unfortunately, were overestimated to date at $1.2 billion. Personal income tax during the month of September rose to $112 million, which was essentially above 2.6 on their projection side, along with sales tax were below, unfortunately, at $87.5 million. Corporate taxes were also down for the month of September, at coming in at $74.8 million, below or roughly 8.8% of projection. Congress is currently recessed at the federal level until November 12th. Thank you, Chair.
Very good. This meeting is adjourned.